Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning into my podcast, Keeping It Real, as we say, 100. I have Damon Max on the phone, and we're going to be talking about some things that he got going on. Ooh, I love the way I said that. Hey, Damon, how are you?
I'm great. How are you tonight?
I am good. I am good. You know, today is a Monday, and we know how Mondays go. I'm like dragging along, but I'm here though, right?
And I'm here too. And it's Halloween, so that's a great thing. Like, you know, this is our time of year. It's mine, at least, you know.
Right, of course it is, because you're the one that does all these suspense and horror and all this stuff. So tell me, how do you get into that? Like, what made you decide that this is what you want to do? This is the genre that you want to be in.
You know, I write what I like to read and what I like to watch. So, you know, even as a young kid, I was drawn to the spooky things on TV and the, you know, I like the Twilight Zone. And I remember as a kid begging my parents, oh, can I go see the movie Jaws? And they're like, are you out of your mind? You're too young. There is no way you're going to see that movie. And I begged and I pleaded, and they, you know, I got to see it like years later after it had been out a little while. And man, I just loved it. I thought that shark was the greatest thing, you know. And I loved being scared. So, like, you know, naturally, I want to try to scare people. So,
oh my God.
That's where it came from, yeah. And I love Halloween. I love haunted houses. And I always wanted to build a haunted house in my garage. And I did that one year. And, you know, ever since then, I've just been drawn to this time of year.
Oh my God. I'm so opposite of what you like, okay? Because I can't stand it. Like when I go to like the movies or look at some kind of show, I have to cover my eyes. I don't want to see what's going on. I'm missing the whole movie because I'm so scared of what's going to happen next, you know? And you talk about haunted houses. There's no way in the world I would go to a haunted house and be comfortable. You know, like for Halloween, I remember when I went, like, it's like these haunted houses and you go in. I had my eyes closed the whole time choking someone else out because I was scared.
Yeah.
I was scared that they were going to grab me or they're going to, like, jump out or something. I was like, this is not for me at all.
And I think that's the normal reaction, you know, I know more people who are not into getting scared than I do who like to get scared. It's a very special breed. Of course, I associate myself with those crazy people who love to get scared and love to scare other people. So now that's become normal to me. So,
oh, wow.
You know, somebody says, oh, I can't even watch horror movies. I'm like, I'm seriously having doubts about this relationship right now. I base my compatibility on whether they like horror movies or, you know, whether they enjoy Halloween. If they don't like Halloween, I you know, there's,
oh my God, I know in like 2021 you received a HAG award. You know,
yes.
Horror writers, you know, was horror authors, you know, guide award for the story The Dead Girl, right? So what was,
yeah,
The Dead Girl about?
So, you know, that came about. I wrote that story it was a contest at first, and they said, write a story about somebody who doesn't know they're dead.
Mm-hmm.
And I started the story, you know, the dead girl stood at the window, you know, it's about this girl and a guy who are stuck in the apartment, and Mark finds himself stuck with his girlfriend after she overdoses on, you know, they both have addiction problems, and she ends up overdosing, but Lizzie does not leave the apartment. And Mark believes he's being haunted by Lizzie, but Lizzie has other intentions for Mark. story was to bring light to the horrors of addiction and how horribly that real life nightmare turns out for so many people. And oddly enough, you know, well, that story went on to win a HAG Award, but it comes from my own life and my own battles with addiction. And oddly enough, here we are talking, and tonight is actually my 10-year sober anniversary. I have 10 years clean. So that's really crazy that we're sitting here talking about that. And actually, tonight's my soberversary. So how about that, the way things work out? Isn't that crazy?
That is great. Like, I have an opportunity to be a part of that. So thank you very much for wanting to spend some time with me on this special day. Okay?
Oh, well, thank you for having me. Now I really feel like I've celebrated and we've brought it in. This is better than a cake.
Yay. I know, like, you have, like, a lot of, I was looking at your new book, and your new book is These Lingering Shadows, but you have, like, a lot of authors in, like,
yes.
So how did this happen?
All right, so, yes, I am an author, but I opened my own publishing company right around this time last year, mostly because I saw the way that a lot of publishers treat their authors and take advantage of them. So I opened up my own publishing company. I wanted to put out my own books under my own label, and I wanted to help some other authors.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been drawn to those old-style gothic horror stories like Frankenstein and you know, even like A Christmas Carol by Dickens and Edgar Allan Poe. These stories where they're not relying on the blood and guts to scare the audience, they're relying on atmosphere and tension and suspense. So I wanted to put together a book for this season, mm-hmm. Halloween, that encapsulated that feeling of gothic horror. And what I did was I went out to find 14 other authors who I felt fit the bill for pulling off exceptional stories. Of course, my own story is in this anthology. It's called Devlin's Mats. It's about an old Victorian house in North Carolina that's been vacant for a very long time, and a new family moves in, and very strange occurrences start happening. So, and I had that story for a really long time, and I wanted to put a book around it, and I wanted other stories to complement that. So I found 14 other authors, and I put this together and released it, and it's been doing pretty darn good. It's called These Lingering Shadows. It's available on Amazon. It's also available at my website, www.lastwaltzpublishing.com. And it's 310 pages of ghost stories and vampires and witches and things that go bump in the night, and it's the perfect thing to curl up by candlelight and wrap yourself in a blanket.
Oh, wow. That sounds really, really good. 'Cause I'm a vampire fan. You know what I mean? I love vampires. And any vampire movie I try to watch, but like, I still like vampires are very, like, I don't know, they're more, you know how the people be like vampires against wolves? You know, they compare them. I think vampires are more, I don't know how to say it.
I think vampires are more romantic than
wolves. Yeah, and, they're more romantic, very well put together, I feel.
You know,
very, very, very smart and very elegant to me, you know. And but I like that sounds really good. So you say you was a kid and you wanted to watch horror movies and you want to do all these scary things, you know, and so you have a sister as well that does the same, right?
Yes, her name's Danielle. Danielle Manx is also featured in my anthology, These Lingering Shadows, with her story, Belladonna's Curse, which has to do a little bit more with witchcraft than ghosts or vampires. So we've got a little bit. Yeah, so my sister, she got the same bug that I did as a kid. And, we're only 2 years apart, so we were watching the same thing. In fact, when Jaws 2 came out, we were old enough to go see that. And we went to go see that when we were on vacation. Like, we were down in Florida, and we were like, "No, Dad, we don't want to go to Disney today. We want to go see Jaws 2." And so we made him take us to the movies to see
Oh
it.
wow. So as a publishing company, why do you think that publishing companies treat people like, especially new authors, you know, they don't give them a fair deal or try to help them out, you know, just a little bit? Because I know some publishing companies can be very expensive.
Yeah, well, you know what? Why? I guess because it's easy to do it. Because, authors, a lot of authors don't do their homework before they get involved with a publishing company. So they don't know who's reputable, and they don't know who's doesn't have their best interests at heart. And so that makes it easy for predators to take advantage of them, which is a shame. And that's what happened to me because I got my first deal. I was looking for a home for my first novelette, and I found a company to take it on, and they ended up not paying my royalties. They ended up actually, said, "Oh yeah, we'll buy you author copies. Just give us this much money." And they took the money. They never got my books. So it's easy for, unfortunately, authors who don't know or who are a little naive make it easy for a shark to get them. So that's why that happens. But knowledge is power. So I think there's a lot of us now. There's a lot more indie publishers out there who are trying to educate and looking out for people. So, I think with education and with knowledge, we can, expose the villains for who they are and, make the world a better place.
That is true. So why would someone choose you as a publishing company if they wanted to find a new publishing company? Why you?
Well, you know what, I would say if they were going to choose me, and in turn I was going to choose them, that because that's a symbiotic, it's got to be a perfect fit. They've got to be the right author for what I'm looking for, and I've got to be the right publisher for what they're looking for, which comes down to, is their writing style compatible to what I put out? Is what I'm offering to do meet what their expectations are as an author? So those are, the things. What can I offer? Do I offer anything really more than any reputable publishing company would do? Probably very similar. A good company will take your manuscript, will have professional editors edit that, will have covers, a cover made up that the author agrees on, that fits what the book is about and style. And we'll talk to them about, what are we going to do to promote your book, or what is practical that we can do, and what do we as a publisher expect the author to do? And, I think the main thing is the author has to be comfortable with who they're working with, and the publisher has to be completely upfront with what is realistic that they can do for the author, and, what are some of the things that they you know, is out of their hands that they're not going to be able to do. And I think, you know, you need to have those conversations beforehand, and that's the most thing. You know, transparency and honesty is really what it is. I don't take on, I don't take on tons of authors just because, you know, that fit is not always there, you know, but when I do find an author and an author finds me and we click, you know, it's perfect and it works great.
That is awesome. That is awesome. So have you ever, you know, decided to, like, try a new genre of book, or you just want to stick to what you love to do?
You mean as far as what I would
like
to do?
As far as, like, romance or fantasy or, you know, something different than you're writing now?
I actually am also dabbling in nonfiction memoirs about what I've been through as far as my addiction goes.
Mm-hmm.
My addiction actually led me to the prison system. So I did some time in prison. And while I was there, I met some very interesting characters. And I was also able to give them the opportunity to turn my life around and step away from addiction, get in touch with, you know, what was spiritual to me and what, you know, also get an education while I was there. So I try to use my experience to help others who might be struggling with addiction or might be going down a path that might lead them to prison. And I'm working on a memoir about that to try it, you know, not so much as a self-help, but, you know, hey, this is my experience. This doesn't have to happen to you, you know,
kind of
thing. So memoir, I don't think I'm going to be the guy who writes cozy mystery or romance.
But you know what, though, Damien? It's just like you have a story to tell, and you can help someone else that was going through a lot of things, you know? Because I truly believe that people who step in the same shoe as another person can relate better because they can tell them what you've been through and what they're going through, and you know exactly what they're going through. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, nobody can, I wouldn't listen to anybody who said, oh, you got to do this, you got to do that. But the minute that, you know, somebody who came to me who's like, oh, yeah, I did that. And one addict can speak to another addict.
That's what I was saying.
The way it is. Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't think someone that never been through do things doesn't even understand what you've been through. They're like, oh, yeah, so you need to do this to make it work. But you're like, what have you been through for you to tell me how to make things work, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, you have to have that legitimacy. You know, you definitely have to walk a mile in somebody else's shoes before they can relate to you, for sure.
But it's good that you're able to talk about what you've been through. I love that. That's, like, inspiring, honestly, because you actually telling people, hey, I've been through this, and this is what happened, and I went to prison, and I got my life better. And if I can do it, you know, majority, if you put your head to it, you can do it too.
Yeah, that's totally it, because you hit it there, because if I could do it, anybody could do it, because I was... To me, you know, I didn't see any way out of that. There was no, I couldn't imagine an escape. I was just as hopeless could be. And I, you know, I couldn't imagine getting 10 hours clean, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Take it back to, you know, a little over 10 years ago, I would never have been able to imagine this point in time. You know, and here I am 10 years later, I haven't had a drink or a drug or a cigarette. I'm drinking lots of coffee.
And that's not good for you either, but
I know,
that's
I
a
know.
Lot of caffeine there. Hello.
Yeah, and the chocolate, especially this time of year. But, you know, it's Yeah, it's crazy. You know, I just I would never imagined it, and but here we are. And you know, I've got a story to tell when it comes to that, and I think my story can help somebody else who's
yeah.
going through it. If I can do it, anybody can.
That's what I believe, you know, and that is good that you're telling your story. So what else do you have going on besides, you know, your nonfiction and all your suspense and horror? So what else do you have going on?
Well, I actually have quite a lot on the table ready to go for next year. I have 6 books coming out next year.
Woo, that's a lot. You was doing a lot of writing.
Yeah, I've got a compilation coming out in January. On January 17th, I have a book coming out that I wrote with another author who lives in Australia. His name's Mark Towes, and we just started talking. Like I asked him. I said, "Hey, you want to write together?" And he's like, "Yeah, let's do it." I never did that, and I'm like, "Well, I really never did this either, but let's try." And I told him the idea that I had, and then he's like, "Well, what about this?" And I'm like, "No, wait, what about this?" So it's called Art Cranium, and it's coming out on January 17th by Damon Nanks and Mark Towes. So imagine in the not-so-distant future, 4 authors all write different types of horror. They get together every couple months for drinks and to talk about who's the scariest horror author. But they can never agree, you know, because everybody's got a fragile ego and everybody thinks that they're the scariest. And they're like, okay, so there's no way we're going to figure this out. And one of them says, well, actually there is. There's Arcranium. Oh, so what's Arcranium? So Arcranium is a virtual reality that allows the author to go inside the computer and, with the computer's aid, create the story of their lives. Not only that, other people can come along for the ride and become characters in the book.
Oh, wow.
And things get out of hand real quick.
Wow. So this is your first time ever doing something like this. This is going to be great, though. You are doing so well in what you got going on. Like, you really are. Like, you're winning awards. You're doing things that you never thought this was going to do. And this is, like, super inspiring and motivating because these are the things that you never thought, and look what you're doing now. You know, you're meeting great people, and you're doing great things.
Yeah, you know, I had dreams of it. You know, I can remember sitting in my prison cell where I started writing these stories, and dreaming that, like, oh yeah, when I get out, I'm going to submit, I'm going to try to do this, I'm going to try to do that. And I can remember when it was, you know, nothing more than a couple scribbles in a few notebooks and lots of aspirations and lots of, oh, I want that. But now, you know, things are, I'm happy with the way things are going. And I would certainly, you know, I always want to do more and I always want to do better, but I'm happy. I'm a lot happier now than I was 10 years ago.
Well,
and
yeah,
actually,
you should be. You should be a lot healthier than you was 10 years ago.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You got that right. On Friday night, this last Friday, I was actually at the Barnes & Noble in Paramus, New Jersey, and got to read one of my stories in front of a bunch of people, which is pretty darn cool.
That is awesome. Super awesome. I just want you to continue doing what you're doing. Like, come on, you are doing great. And you are going to be great because the next time I talk to you, hopefully in another probably year or so, or maybe 6 months or so, we'll see where you are and see what you got going on. And I know you're going to elevate. You know, there's no stopping you now. The only thing stopping
that's right.
you. Yeah, you drink all that coffee. That's why you wrote six books. You wrote six books because you was drinking all that coffee. You couldn't go to sleep at night, you know?
Yeah, that the coffee had a lot to do with it. Definitely. Yeah.
I guess you was like, I got 10 years worth of stuff to say, so I'm just going to drink a whole bunch of coffee and just write.
Yeah, and then once it started coming out, I just couldn't stop it.
Exactly. Exactly. Damien, I just want to tell you it's been such a great pleasure talking to you, and I just want you to, if you can, keep in touch. You have my email, and I know you'd be super busy, so, you know.
No, we're gonna stay in touch. I definitely will. It was great to talk to you, and great to talk about this and celebrate my sobriety here with you on my 10-year anniversary. It was great.
Yes, and I just want to say congrats. Like, keep doing you. Don't let no one push you into drinking something because you're doing so well. Because you know how people peer pressure. Drink this, man. Drink this.
Yeah, I stay away from people who would do that. So
right.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
All right, you take care. Talk to you soon.
You too. All right. Alrighty, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.